Welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin, where we focus on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please do not forget to hit subscribe and click the notification button so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, however, our guest is James Kelleher. James has been a licensed therapist for the past 15 plus years and in private practice in the Phoenix Scottsdale area for over 10 years. He's a graduate of New York University with a master's degree in counseling psychology, and James has had extensive experience with people from diverse cultural backgrounds and has counseled clients from a wide range of challenges. James always uses a non-judgmental approach to his therapeutic methods and creates a strong sense of trust with his clients. And he starts by creating a positive sense of self and uses that foundation to overcome the challenges that limit one's full potential. So welcome to you, James, today.
Thank you so much, Martin. I'm glad
to be here. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, I was super excited to invite you here to kind of share your expertise and your knowledge because we're certainly going through some tough times. And so I guess I'd be remiss if we didn't kind of start with kind of relative to what your practice was like pre-pandemic and what are the kinds of things you're starting to see and have seen as we've navigated the past now, frankly, almost a year. So what have you seen?
Sure. Well, my gosh, pre-pandemic, you know, one of the things that we were dealing with were stressors from all walks of life, from traveling to, you know, setting life goals on day-to-day basis, living outside of our homes. And I mean, clearly a major shift has happened since the pandemic. And now we're looking at, you know, I'm seeing an overwhelming amount of depression and anxiety due to new factors, being stuck in our houses, communication within relationships or even friendships, isolation from friends and family, you know, new ways of coping and dealing with working and working from home. So yes, as you know, and the audience knows, lives have definitely changed. So the things that we saw pre-COVID to now it's some of the same stuff, but amplified in some ways. You know, anxiety and depression has always been a part of our worlds, but it's really taken a turn and it looks a lot different now.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about that a little bit because, you know, things have changed and things are different, yet things are the same. And, you know, my personal opinion, not being a therapist, is a lot of what we're seeing, particularly the Karens of the world who, you know, recoil against even wearing a mask and, you know, the politicalization of basic medical care and basic understanding of infection control. You know, talk to us about kind of your observation of people's coping skills that then manifest in these, you know, Karen incidences of not wanting to wear masks and so forth. So talk to a little bit about people's challenges in coping relative to their behaviors.
Yeah, I mean, first let me say you bring up a really good point because, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about COVID, but yeah, we're dealing with a crazy political climate. You know, we just came out of something, but we're still dealing with, I would say, raw emotions and, you know, and how do we cope with that? And one of the things that comes to mind as I hear you saying all that is anger.
Yeah.
You know, definitely dealing with how to process and cope with anger, anxiety, again, shifts in mood. I would say, again, you know, from my approach, my background is using cognitive behavioral therapy. So I work with clients trying to get them to look at what they're dealing with on a daily basis and how to work with our thoughts and our cognitions to help get us through some of these thoughts that could be affecting us. So thinking about, you know, dealing with the Karens that have issues with, you know, not wanting to wear a mask. Is it really just about wearing a mask or is it about something bigger?
Right. Exactly.
You know? And in those cases, let's kind of dig a little bit and see what this is about for you and maybe challenge some of the stuff that's going on in your brain so that we can have a healthier outcome for you. So we're not sitting with all that anger.
Absolutely. You know? And you know, the whole thought process and helping patients kind of understand their thought processes and kind of reprogram their thought processes. And one of the ones I thought was rather fascinating from a clinical perspective, you know, as many of the viewers know, I'm a disabled dentist and I practiced for a number of years. And, you know, this whole idea that, you know, I can't breathe in the mask or that I'm getting hypoxic. And come on, the facts are the facts. And surgeons, dentists, nurses, OR technicians have worn masks for, you know, 5, 10, 12 hours at a clip, and they're okay. And so, you know, talk about what you've seen in your patients and your clients relative to their thought processes and maybe some of the ways that you advise people to be able to cope with some of these thought processes and these challenging times.
You know, I just that little snip right there, it makes me think clearly it's a thought related to not wanting to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that could be fueled by anger because of whether it's politics or, you know, just needing to resist in some ways. And those thoughts then have an outcome. And that outcome is anxiety producing for them. Absolutely. Right? So what we are seeing can be, you know, legit anxiety. I put on this mask and I start to feel overwhelmed or lightheaded or my hands are sweating. And I even talk about little coping techniques with, you know, any type of like aromatherapy or something we can add to the mask. And then we get into, you know, mindfulness and taking deep breaths. Clearly, we want to challenge the thoughts again that they're facing, mm-hmm. but how to get through those moments and how to cope with just wearing a mask. I think that's really important because even people that don't have an issue wearing masks, sometimes they feel restricted, right?
So
talk about little ways to get them through that.
Absolutely. And look, there's also weather-related issues, right? Because we live in Phoenix, Scottsdale area. It's a little hot here in the summer. And so look, even though I knew that the mask wasn't impeding my breathing when I was walking around, when it was hot outside, it felt more closed in and more claustrophobic and more difficult to wear, even though in my brain, I was telling myself, okay, Martin, it is what it is. And, you know, you just have to cope with it. You know?
Sure, sure. Well, and that goes to what you're saying. They're usually attached to some other thoughts, right?
Absolutely.
Something that's bigger than,
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the depression and what you're seeing with people being home alone. I mean, there are so many people that, you know, are living by themselves, and it's even harder when you don't have somebody, although it's my understanding rates of divorce are up and couples splitting are up as well, dealing with it. So what have you seen and observed relative to, you know, people trying to cope with just being alone and how that leads to depression? What talk a little bit about that.
I will say, I think that's probably one of the biggest factors here is that idea around loneliness, mm-hmm. isolation, being home. You know, even if there's someone else in the home, then we start to look at, you know, I'm isolated from friends and family. I'm here with a significant other or maybe someone within my family, but then there's a little bit of a loss of independence because I feel trapped or stuck in this house with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of really breaking down the factors and the thoughts that we're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. The isolation is something, and how can we be social in a time like this, right? Yeah. How can we reach out to friends and family? How can we, you know, broaden our horizons, you know, people that aren't used to Zoom? How can we hop on a Zoom call to say hi to our friends and family?
Absolutely.
We have to be cautious of our limiting thoughts, right? That affects our mood. And mm-hmm. what I notice is that idea of hopelessness. You know, it was different when we were in March. We tried to be hopeful and then that extends. And, you know, here we are now December and we're getting close to a year later.
Yeah.
So how do we keep hope through all of this? And what are we doing for ourselves to not only just challenge our thoughts, but as you said, cope? So I like to look at, you know, different methods from, you know, meditation and breathing and looking into mindfulness to being creative and thinking outside the box. You know, what can I do when I'm in the house?
Absolutely.
Outside of, you know, binging, you know, Netflix or Hulu.
Right.
Those are great. But what else can we do to, you know, invite that creativity to help us get through this journey that we're going
through? Absolutely. So let's speak a little bit about that hope thing. Because I know, you know, you and I have talked in the past in passing, you know, about just people, you know, in the before times where you go on a vacation and it's good to have the next thing planned so that you have something to look forward to. And I know, just speaking to my own friends and colleagues, that hope element that you mentioned and is almost, they're perceiving it almost as if it's gone. because they don't know when this is quote unquote going to end. And certainly we are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We do know it's going to end. But I think this speaks to a larger coping mechanism, relative to hope. So how would you advise somebody that's like, well, you know, James, that's a bunch of, you know, poppycock. I don't know when this is going to end. What am I supposed to look forward to? Like, how would you guide them?
You know, one of the things that comes to mind is a shift when we feel productive. I think that affects our moods, right? And I think we're kind of, without saying the word productivity, we're thinking about that. You know, if I'm on vacation and I have something to look forward to, I feel like I have, you know, I'm productive in some type of world, in some type of, sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. I'm feeling productive in some part of my world. If we can look at being productive, let's say while we're limited in the house, what does that mean? And it could be something so small. You know, I'm productive in arranging the kitchen cabinets. I'm productive in organizing my clothes. You know, the things to do list. List that has always been pushed to the side. Yeah. Let's look at that, because that affects our mood, and we get some little rush, right? The endorphins get kicked in, they kick in, and we start to say, wow, I was able to accomplish something in this downtime.
Absolutely.
So where I'm going with it is, again, that idea of creativity. You know, I can't set a trip, and I may feel like I lost hope in the what's next with travel, but I can look at what's happening within my home, and how can I be productive and feel like I have hope here in my own home?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting too, because, you know, some of our other guests, we talked about, you know, the whole power of being present, and, you know, COVID or not, in so many ways, there's no difference here. It's kind of the same thing, because like it or not, there is no future. Our future is a fantasy because it hasn't happened yet. So our positive possibilities are just as real as our negative possibilities that we make up in our head. And so, you know, it almost feels like what you're describing is like methodologies and thought processes to really be in the moment, rather than kind of spool yourself, you know, out of control relative to worrying about the what ifs or what can be's and so forth.
You just said it perfectly. What thinking error that we often move, or we often shift to, is this idea around what if, right?
Yeah.
And that's what produces the anxiety and the stress.
Absolutely.
And then we
no, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, we sprinkle in media and news or what social media or watching, whatever we're watching, and that just amplifies everything for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it kind of draws us out of that moment into that fear factor. And so you kind of mentioned earlier, you talked about cognitive behavioral therapy and the steps. Like if we were sitting here talking and I was saying, you know, James, I just get out of control. I look at social media, I look at the news, and I'm worried about what if, and you know, you're telling me to be in the moment, but I just can't be. Like, what would you tell me?
I would say, stop. I would yell stop. And, you know, laughing, but serious, you know, I think the first thing we need to do is put away the social media. We need to pause on the news. I think we need to, you know, be informed. There's a difference of being informed versus consuming too much, because that can be inside of us, right? So I would say let's pause with those things that are bringing us or producing the anxiety. And let's go back to this concept of mindfulness. How can I live in the moment now? How can I be present with my work? How can I be present with my family, right? What can I do that's going to bring me joy in the house? And it could be something from, you know, taking a warm shower and a bath to, you know, sipping coffee and tea to, you know, I've even talked with clients that are talking about adult coloring to try to soothe themselves, right?
Yeah.
So it could be something silly, or it could be, you know, coming up with a new craft or hobby for yourself. What can we do to bring it to being in the moment?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that whole element of not only connecting in the moment, but connecting to others. You know, you brought up Zoom earlier. We're obviously sitting here on Zoom. We're, you know, this is obviously a Zoom recording. And how have you found, because we were chatting earlier, I know your practice has changed. You're obviously not meeting people in person. You're meeting people over Zoom. And so, you know, as a therapist, like what have you observed relative to the human connection, Zoom versus in person, and how that can be of value?
You know, I would say there were significant concerns with not being able to meet with clients in the office, face to face, so to speak, or physically present there with them. But as I think about it, and I've read a few things, I actually think doing, you know, these telesessions or Zoom calls, one can argue there's almost more of a connection. You know, when I'm in the office, yes, you're physically there, but you may be, you know, some 6 to 10 feet away from me in a different chair. Whereas, you know, we're right there. It's more intimate, you know, the audio, people talk about the audio, you know, you hear clearly, the computer's right there in your face. I almost feel like I'm sitting closer to you.
Yeah.
And it's more intimate. I get to see maybe a different setting or a background of your house and what you'd like to share. And I could see how that affects your world.
Absolutely.
So I would argue that I think it's even more of a connection, and it's a lot more convenient for clients to be able to have, you know, these telesessions.
Absolutely. You know, it's even whether it's clients or, you know, in my world with, you know, dental study clubs. I mean, look, even if you only live 10 minutes away from your therapist or your study club or whatever activity it is, you know, the reality is what the reality is. It is what it is, right? And so let's take advantage and think about the reality that, okay, so every time we get together, I'm saving 20 minutes or I'm saving, you know, the plane fare, whatever. And, you know, somebody watching this could be like, oh, well, that's just an excuse. But you know what? It isn't. I mean, it is true. It is a reality that you can choose how to look at anything
100%
through your own lens. And so you can choose to say, well, this stinks because I'm not in person or I'm not with my friends. But, you know, it can be a benefit too, because now all of a sudden we're talking every week. And before COVID hit, we hardly ever spoke. And so there can certainly be benefits too.
Look, it saves gas money. I mean, right? I can do it in the comfort and privacy of my own home. I have clients that also call me from their car at times, right? Because they could take a lunch break and not having to worry about traveling. So while I can see it could be a concern for some people, there are so many more benefits.
Sure. And
going back to what you say, you know, I like the positive spin.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, as we start to see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, and as things start to open up, and as the vaccines, you know, become more available, for lack of a better way to put it, what are some of the things that you would advise somebody to be on the watch for, from their own mood or their own experience? Because no one's written a book on this, right? The last time we had anything like this was 1918, and our society is totally different than it was in 2018. And so what are some of the things that you're guiding your clients to? It's like, okay, now that we're actually thinking about this hope again and reopening society, what are some of the things you'd advise people to kind of watch out for?
You know, I would say the main things that come to my mind would be almost this idea of maintenance for where we are. How do we maintain where we are without burning out as we go through the rest of this journey? The biggest thing would probably be self-care, right? You know, I think we are becoming overwhelmed with how much longer we have, or, you know, even sometimes I say living hour by hour, forget day by day. How do I get through this? And so I think outside of that concept of watching our thoughts to help us deal with, you know, our moods and anxiety, outside of mindfulness and trying to get through the day by day, we have to think about how can I care for myself, right?
Sure.
I think of it as, you know, a smartphone, right? How do I have a charge on my battery? Because my battery keeps draining. It's you know, getting close to zero or dying. Yeah. So what do I do for myself to say, I gotta stay charged?
I love that analogy, because everybody can relate to that, because the minute our cell phone dies, we're not doing anything. And for a long time, there were many people that felt that self-care was a bit of hooey, but look, our bodies are a metabolic machine. It can't run forever, right?
You know, and that battery can die fast depending on what we're dealing with. You know, I could be at 100% charge at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by 9 o'clock, I could go down to a 10% charge, you know, if I'm dealing with certain things at work, or for many parents dealing with things with their children and this whole world of homeschooling and a shift in school. You know, again, dynamics with relationships or feeling lonely. So we have to be cautious thinking about that battery charge, right?
Absolutely.
And what do I need to implement for myself? And maybe I need to go stand outside and take some deep breaths.
Absolutely. You
know, absolutely. May need something to step away just to recharge that battery.
Yeah. To recognize you're not in a good place, to recognize that, okay, so I have these thoughts. These thoughts are leading me in a specific place. Let me put the brakes. Let me stop, like you said, and let me redirect into something that's positive. Because I've also read reports, particularly in the beginning throes of the pandemic, I remember reading that alcohol sales were like up 50%, and everybody was drinking like fishes in the beginning of this. And it, you know, it was a coping mechanism, right? And so, you know,
or eating, right? That's been the other one. I'm stuck in the house and I'm eating. And now, I mean, we're seeing, you know, the effects of that, how it's affected self-esteem and how one's confidence has had shifted because of, you know, I put on so much weight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I've noticed particularly some friends, colleagues and so forth. And, you know, they can't go to the gym, or they choose not to go to the gym, depending on where you are. And so they've kind of redirected their energies. And it's like, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and exercise outside. I'm not going to go to the gym. I have a colleague who lives in the Miami area who bought like a 7-pound mace. And he posts like every night on Instagram, these intricate things he does. And he looks amazing, you know? He's changed what he does.
Again, goes back to that word creativity, right? How can I be creative to manage this from my own home?
Absolutely.
While being safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think you hit the nail on the head, because, you know, what's your experience been with people that get stuck because their typical methodology of staying fit is going to the gym? That got taken away. Now, well, I can't go to the gym, so I can't be fit. You know, how do you help guide those kind of people to get stuck?
You know, well, in a nutshell, that's the word perfect, you know, feeling stuck. And we just need to kind of reprogram our thoughts, right?
Absolutely.
But we've been so conditioned to act and behave in this way.
Yeah.
So now there's a big shift in the world. What do I do? What can I say to myself, or what can I do for myself to say, let me challenge this. Let me look at things through a different lens.
Absolutely.
Right. Let me get some guidance and support from others around me or a therapist to say, I need to look at things a little differently. And that's where we see the shift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, James, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a fun experience. We've given some great tips. I certainly hope people have found this of value and thinking about what to do when they're stuck and how to kind of redirect their thoughts and how to stay kind of in the moment so that they don't get stuck in the what ifs. And so we're going to go ahead and, you know, for those of you in the Phoenix area, we'll certainly put your contact information, your website in the description below. And so I just want to thank you very much for joining us today and for everyone else. I just want to remind you to go ahead. Don't forget to subscribe, click the notification button, and remember, life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Take care. Thank you.